Opinions, comments, and stories you're about to hear may not be suitable for some. Listener discretion advised.
All right now, boys and girls, we want to introduce...
Please allow me to adjust my pants.
Listen to me.
Run as fast as you can.
I'm gonna give you what you need.
Get ready for BAM Radio.
Let me do it one more time. It's Radio BAM. Fucking idiot.
What the hell am I talking about?
It's Radio BAM.
And now. Here's BAM.
Here's BAM.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Uh-huh. Novak here. Yeah. Jocaso, yep. Shit Goose, Franz, and Murray.
Yo.
And
stand-in.
Dude, we just made it in the nick of time. Me and Jocaso kayaked all the way down the Route 1 and then realized we had no ride home, so we had to hide the kayaks and walk back on the railroad tracks. It fucking sucks.
Fucking stowaways walking on the railroad tracks.
Not to mention it's all like bumpy, so you have to constantly be looking down so you don't twist your ankle on the railroad tracks.
It felt like a Standby Me moment, you and I just walking on the trail together.
Ray Brower.
Sounds like some Brokeback Mountain shit.
You know, dude, you know what we wanted to do to Novak? Just like, get it. Well, he'll probably get pilled up himself, but like, give him a bunch of sleeping pills to where he falls asleep. Blindfold him and just put him in the middle of nowhere and on the railroad tracks and just film him from far to see what he does.
You know, I've actually been mad enough at him where I was ready to drive him to the middle of nowhere and just make him get out. But then I always envision him showing up with like some stranger who is willing to take care of it. Franz, I got a new best friend. He brought me back from the middle of the wilderness in Canada. Like,
worked in Dallas. It did in Dallas.
Yeah, I open up the door all naked at 5 in the morning, and it's just him with this, like,
that was your
Navy
fault.
SEAL guy and his girlfriend.
That was your fault. You were the one that told me to shit in the street. I'm like, dude, I got to shit. Where should I shit? You're like, shit in the middle of the beltway. So what I do? Listen. And I listen.
You should have noticed that the third car behind you was a police car.
Dude, he sabotaged me, man. He came out of nowhere.
I got sabotaged.
He did, man. In the beginning, he was nowhere in sight. He fucking came out like a Black Hawk Thunder or whatever they're called.
Black Hawk Down?
What are those fucking helicopters called?
Black Hawk Down.
You know what I'm talking about, dipshit.
What would you do if you just woke up like in a chair, blindfolded, and you're on the railroad tracks in the middle of nowhere? The only thing you could see is like a farmhouse in the distance that's like a mile away. What would you do?
I mean, I've woken up in places where
in the city.
Yeah, that's happened.
You're out of your element.
It's happened pretty much.
You'd be out of your element in the countryside.
I'd walk to the nearest part of civilization and ask questions.
But there isn't any.
Yeah, how would you find civilization? Like, imagine
that's what I want to know.
In the wilderness.
I would look at the sky first.
And then what
see
would the...
see where the trees start to get lower and start to diminish. And then I would just follow that direction because obviously the trees have to end somewhere.
Oh, you
says
the
who?
Sun.
Fucking heroin the Grizzly sun. Adams here.
Tell that to the Amazon, dickhead.
Dude,
you'll be
I
walking for weeks and months.
You gotta check the sun.
I'll start watching Man vs. Wild and learn how to live off the earth.
He just started like eating berries. Maybe this one will get
exactly.
me high.
Exactly. No, but it'll make me live for another day. I'd make it out. Dude, all the fucked up situations I got in out of.
It is weird.
I'm sure I could get out of that situation.
You are a survivor,
things.
Man.
I
wait,
know.
What did you just say, G?
No, you can die eating like certain stuff.
Berries.
Like, berries and stuff. You see that movie, Into the Wild?
Yeah, you probably
based
yeah,
on a
what
true
you
story.
You ate the wrong fucking plane.
Yeah, the dude. Yeah.
I'm reading that book right now.
And then he starved to death.
Into the Wild. It's
like,
a good
no,
book.
You can die from eating certain things. No shit.
No, but like you can.
I remember it when I was in Boy Scouts, there was always the rumor about the kid who like was in the wilderness and wiped his ass of poison ivy, and everyone like
I know
swore
who did that.
Everyone swore he knew the dude who did it, but I know who did it.
Who? Drew Hasty.
Oh, I did it.
Really?
Too.
Drew Hasty wiped his ass with poison
no
ivy.
No way.
He had all these like bubbly. Up in his ass.
I believe it because when I used to be so allergic to poison ivy. If the wind just blew it in my direction,
oh shit,
it would cover me literally from head to toe and every crevice of my body. I'd have to eat and drink through a straw. I couldn't even talk. It was fucking.
I had it on
my mouth, my dick, my asshole. You name it, I had it.
You had poison ivy on your dick?
Yeah, recently. Like
who'd you fuck?
Recently.
Some chick from far away.
She gave you poison ivy all the day.
Nah, dude, I must have was in the woods, and then I came back home and jerked off, and I guess the oil from my dick. I freaked out, and I got tested, because I thought I was like...
You thought you had herpes or something?
I thought...
What got you turned on in the woods to want to jerk off?
I was like... I mean, riding four-wheelers in the woods, and I came home and jerked off.
Yeah, that's how much he likes four-wheeling, I guess.
Four-wheeling was so much fun, you had to jerk off in the woods.
I grabbed my dick to piss, I don't know.
One time Ryan Dunn got, he got tested, and they called him, like, the next day, and they were like, okay, well, you don't have Hep B, you don't have Hep A, you don't have Hep C, you don't have this, you don't have that, but with the AIDS thing, like, you're going to have to come in to get the answer. So, like,
oh man,
dude, he said that he was going to, like, drive his car off a cliff on the way there, and he...
That's scary to think about.
Yeah, so he pulls in, and, like, freaking out, and it's, like, policy that they can't tell you over the phone, like, you have to go in, whether it's a yes or no answer, and they're like,
fuck that.
He's like, so now that I have it, what do I do? They're like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't. You just have to know what,
dude? I think they get off on doing that because that's the policy. You know, obviously they can't tell you over the phone whether you're HIV positive or not because, you know, if you are, you might commit suicide. So, but the way they always say it, they're like, well, you're okay, but you're going to have to come in for the HIV test results.
They make it sound so
devastating, and they never tell you. You know, it's, you know, we make everybody come in whether, you know, I mean, I don't have the results in front of me, but you have to come in for that. It's policy. They never tell you that, and it scares the shit out of so many people. Thank you for the beer.
You don't even want to know what you have.
Fuck no. Why would anyone want to...
just depress you.
Exactly. Why would you want to know what you have? I mean...
When was the last time you got tested?
I would not want to fucking... I mean, okay, if I find out what I have and I'm going to die in a week or two, I don't want to know.
But it doesn't...
I'm just going to cry every day about it.
But no. See, it's not...
Carpe diem. Seize the day. Not the fucking year.
It's not for... It's not for your... Brucey. It's not for yourself, Brandon. It's for the people...
Who is it for,
it's
Joseph?
For the people that you supposedly love around you.
Dude.
Like Mandy sitting there,
who's
scared shitless about this conversation. I'm saying this for laughs.
I'm saying for jokes.
Yeah, and HIV. HIV is real funny.
I was just the whole goddamn psych ward. They tested every crevice of my fucking body.
You and your crevices.
We all got them.
Well, so all this talk about the woods earlier though reminded me when I was in Boy Scout camp. You know, like there was like a heavy duty roll call. Every morning, and you know, they go through everyone in a whole Boy Scout camp, and it's a very serious thing. You know, they you say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they play the anthem, and the cannon goes, and they do the roll call. But there was this one dude's name, and it was Michael Weenus. And how do you know? And like, the whole time, dude, they call 100 names, and you're just waiting for Michael
Weenus.
And it's a W, so it's at the very end. So the whole time, you're just fucking waiting for Weenus, dude. How can you be named Weenus, dude? Like, there's nothing else that rhymes with Weenus.
Your name is Weenus.
You know, he fucking begged his parents not to go to camp every year. Please don't.
Remember that story that you were telling when they made the kid. You want to be a man? We'll strip down and get naked in front of everybody.
Oh my God.
I bet you that was you.
That was the first.
Tell that story.
Well okay. Even though it didn't happen to me, I'll say it happened to me because everyone already accused me.
No, tell me what happened.
It was our first exposure to what child molestation was and how detrimental it could be to a child. It was a swimming merit badge, and there was this kid, and it was his first year of Boy Scouts, and there was one. Scoutmaster from another troop just terrorizing this kid. We were all a little older. We were like 15, and we were like, that's fucked up what's going on. Is we walk in, and, you know, everyone's supposed to get off their, you know, take off their clothes, put on their swim trunks, get in the pool.
All together?
It's a gym room.
It's like a locker room.
It's like a locker room.
Naked around other guys.
But what did you do in high school?
I didn't do that shit either.
Everyone thought I was gay. I was like, well, you're...
Well, I never got a shower.
Naked. Well, apparently this teacher didn't take it so well.
So this Boy Scout teacher... the Boy Scout leader goes... He's just screaming at this kid. Okay, so we walk in. There's a kid going... I don't want it. And then it's just a scoutmaster with his hands on his hips going, "You want to be a man? You want to be a Boy Scout and become a man? You act like a man. I want to see you strip. I want to see you get down to your skivvies and get naked in front of all these other men. That's right. You're going to do it. You're going to like it." Because, like, I don't want it. And we were just like, we're like, that's like fucked up. So we told our scoutmaster, we're like, "Mr. Darby, that kid's in there is getting molested." He goes, "You never." And we got yelled at for fucking outing a molester. We got screwed up. You don't joke about like that. You don't joke about child molestation of Boy Scouts. You just don't do that. We're like, we are not joking. That kid shouldn't be getting swim. There's fucking 50 goddamn different merit badges that kid could be getting. Like, sign him up for fucking basket weaving or first aid. Please, for the love of fuck's sake. And we take Mr. Darby in there to look at it, and the kid's just still. The kid's having
take
a fucking
off
nervous.
Your clothes now.
So, actually, a side note to that story. We remembered his name. And my one buddy, Charles, who we went to Boy Scout camp with, he knows somebody, a cop, who is an internet researcher for kiddie porn and stuff like that.
Oh, no. Did he get caught?
He brought up the guy's name and goes, "Yeah, we've been looking at that guy for since we started our internet research 6 years ago. We've been looking at that guy. We can't catch him on it." And we're like, son of a bitch.
You could have caught him that day.
He's been getting away. Yeah, we could have caught him that day. He's been getting away with it for fucking 20, you know,
years. Dude, there's a teacher at East High School, a gym teacher, and he would, like, straight up invite, like, girl students over for dinner at his house and stuff. And, like, every time that you know, we'd be, like, in the gym or something, he'd always have his fucking meat hooks over all over some hot girl. Like, "Now bend this way and lift it up like that." Like, it's like he would never do it to the guys. It would always be the hot girls.
That music teacher just got in trouble for fingering and banging the girl in the music room.
Don't say the name.
Where, so, around here?
Yeah. What happened? Close. So music teacher was like, he got called because the girl's friend was going through her cell phone
right. And
found like dirty text messages from the music teacher.
That is fucked.
And so they found, then they confiscated his computer and all his shit. And then here it is, he's like fingering this 14-year-old girl.
The chick was letting him do it? Or was
yeah,
so
she
wrong.
Was like all about it or something. The dude was like 28, and now like everyone's like, all shit's going down. It just happened like a couple
Jesus.
Days ago.
Dude, even when I taught college, they had a rule of like no fraternization. Obviously, you can't fuck or have anything to do with your students on a personal level. Even when like a girl would take a meeting with me about her grades, I would make sure there was always someone else in the room.
A witness, yeah.
You don't put yourself in any kind of compromising position, let alone do something goddamn stupid. What the fuck? What is wrong with people?
Brittany had a
what are you laughing at?
Teacher.
Yeah, you did.
Tell
us.
Yeah, told
me about story. Did you ever hook up with a teacher?
You're in the radio room. You got to tell us about it.
There's no
the guest mic.
No beating around the bush in this room, babe.
First of all, introduce yourself. Introduce yourself.
I'm Brittany.
Okay, Brittany.
You were fucking your teacher.
Now tell us all about it.
You humped your teacher?
What'd you do?
Come on.
Don't. What'd you do, Murray? You obviously know.
She told me she didn't. Well, who was it?
It was the student teacher.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Come on.
Who was it? You don't have to say the name.
Just tell us what happened.
Okay. I really haven't.
Well, who was
it
then?
An older guy.
Well, was he in the class?
How old?
Okay.
Let's.
Creeper.
Okay. How old were you? How old were you?
Like 22.
And how old was he?
38. That's not that bad.
Oh, Bronzy boy. That's his age.
Well, come on. You're 30. No, it's not like you were a minor.
No.
Not like she was 12 and he was 20. That's legal.
There's this chick who came to my lunch table who, she was like 16 and she just got a teacher fired because she banged him out, Mr. Venuto. And I sat down and I was like, "Holy shit, you're that Venuto girl, dude." She just started bawling and Hannah's like, "That's wrong, dude. That was so wrong."
I'm like, "I don't know." Let me tell you about the child molester. When I was in junior high, we had one gym teacher, and I'm not going to say his name, but I wish I had the fucking balls to. He would say, "Now, you know, hygiene is very important here at Ridley High School, so I want to make sure, you know, each individual takes a shower, you know, after gym. It's very important."
Yeah, tell that to Fanta's dandruff.
Fair enough, right? You got to take a shower after gym. No one wants you stinking up the school, right?
Yeah.
He actually went through the trouble of feeling the wet, naked asses of each boy.
Ew.
He would stop you, like, he would, like, take, like, one out of 10 dudes and be like, "Did you take a shower?" Like, "Yeah, I took a shower and dripped. Let me feel your bottom." And
he would feel
12-year-olds
in the crack, or just
and his name was Mr. I wish I had the balls to say his name, but yeah, he would feel the wet naked asses in Ridley High School in the 80s. And if you're a caller and you want to talk about your experiences at Ridley High School, get molested by this sick fuck.
Call up.
Please call up.
Dude, the woodshop teacher, Mr. Huddleston, he would steal kids' pot from allegedly. Him, and then he wouldn't like turn it into the school. He'd just keep it. Like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
You're not allowed to have that in there. Here, I'll put it right in my desk.
Now, I'll just keep that right
now,
here.
Now, you know, morally and ethically, I should turn you into the police, the principal, your homeroom teacher, and your parents, but I'm going to do you a favor and cut you a break, provided you never do it again. Unless you want to do it next week and bring us warm.
they make it seem like they're doing you a favor by not telling
you. And you're
her,
a kid
like,
and you don't know any better, you know? So you're like, okay, yeah, I guess.
Dude, picture nightclubs when the bouncers take people's like booger sugar and ecstasy and shit.
Oh,
like,
I've got
there's no way that they're turning that into going right in their pocket or they're selling
I've seen
it.
That shit go down so many times, man. Especially at rave parties. You know those raves?
What are you doing that with in here? You can't have that in here. I'll put it right in my pocket.
It's like an open-air drug market. I remember a long time ago I was at this rave. And I was selling, like, I had really good Kind Buds, and I was breaking up into grams, and I was selling each gram for $20. And I probably had like $4,000 on my pocket because I had all these grams. And one of these big black security guards, couldn't really tell it was a security guard, just looked like a thug kind of guy ready to beat someone up. I'm walking through the crowd, and I just saw him kept staring at me, so I got nervous, and I handed my money to someone else. And as I'm walking through the crowd, he literally grabs me and pulls me into a corner. I'm scared as fuck, and I'm surrounded by four big black dudes that are ready to beat my ass. They pull out these badges and they start emptying up pockets. I'm like, "Where's that? We just saw it." Ready to take all my money. Realize they're like, "You gave it to somebody."
It's not their right to take your money.
They were totally going to take it. So instead, they just kicked me out of the club because they couldn't find my money or drugs.
Dude, I know.
Where was it?
In Baltimore. So you gave it to my friend.
You got kicked out of the club for doing nothing.
Yeah, they saw me doing it, but they couldn't find it to take it from me. So when they pulled me in a corner. And secretly frisked me down and right, like totally surrounded me by. Like,
it's so not a bouncer's right to take your money
so
for
illegal.
Selling drugs.
Dude, I know a guy who never did coke before, right? And then like the first night he was going to do it, he bought like this like little bag, like a $20 bag of coke. Goes in the fucking bathroom of this club to do it. He's just about to do his first thing of coke, man. And he hears, "Freeze! Police!" The fucking police come in, kick the fucking door open. A SWAT team comes in, takes him to jail. It cost him $30,000 to keep him going to jail. He never even did it.
Did he buy it from undercover? Like,
I don't know.
That's great.
Some chick in the note. There's a line in the girl. Room, so she went into the boys' room, locked the door, but didn't shut it. It looked shut, but it wasn't. So
is this the girl?
I come barreling in to take a piss, and she's in mid ass wipe, dude.
She's like, "You can't don't look, don't look.
She's painting.
Where am I supposed to look?
You're in the boys' room wiping your main ass,
and it's not like you came in there to see it. You just came in there to take a piss, and she's painting the town brown.
was she a pretty girl, or is she just minging anyway?
She was medium.
She was taking a shower.
Let me guess. You pissed in the sink.
No, I was like, whoa, and I just shut the door.
Yeah, I would have fleed the scene on that, too.
We got a caller that got molested by a teacher.
All right, we
got
to hear
guys
this.
Hear him. Yeah, yeah, put him through, I guess.
Let's do it. Where's he from?
I don't know.
Find out, Murray.
Where's he from? Hello, put him
Hi,
through.
Hi, caller. How you doing, buddy?
We're ready.
Hi, I got molested by Ryan G.
He's on. Hello?
What's up, man?
Hi, caller. How you doing?
I don't think he's out.
Oh, yeah.
Who the hell was that? Who's that God?
That's a God
voice. Who's there?
All right, hello. Hey,
is,
buddy.
Is he on a track that we can't hear?
Yeah, I got him on.
Hello, caller.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, there we go.
Hey, good, buddy. So we hear you have a very interesting story to tell.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Okay. Nobody I know actually got involved in the story. Nobody got molested. But what happened is my little sister had a volleyball coach, right? And this guy would give her a ride home and shit. Whenever she would fight with my parents, she'd
How
would
old was
hang
she?
Out with them. Huh?
How old was she?
This would be from she's like 14 to 17, right? So we just figured the guy was just a fucking, just being helpful and fucking helping his team, right? You know how coaches are. Yeah. But fucking, nothing actually happened to her, but about a year after she quit the team, the guy ended up being in the news, front page news, down here in Edmonton, because he was caught molesting all these fucking 14-year-olds at the school he teached at. Like, he was videotaping, he was having fucking relationships with them and shit. And then he got caught. My dad's freaking out, like, ready to fucking go blow this guy's brains out.
Did you get jail time?
Well, the day before his fucking court hearing, guy ended up hanging himself.
Karma's a bitch.
The thing I just wanted to get at is, I'm not a vindictive person by nature, but you know what's fucked up? When that shit happens to kids, you just naturally kind of smirk that the person's fucking dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely...
Well, he would have had it coming to him when he went to jail anyway.
The other thing is there's more ways to be molested than actually like touched and physically abused. There's like emotional and a lot of times they say things that stick with the kid. They say sexually suggestive things, and they say very inappropriate things to kids, and it sticks with the person. And a lot of times they're very demeaning, and there's a lot of ways that a child molester gets up. What
do you
struggle?
Know all this?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I got molested when I was a kid.
I'm sitting here staring at a picture of you holding your cock. It's giving like his big philosophy, and I'm just looking at his dick the whole time.
There was a theatrical group in my hometown. And there was a guy there who was like in charge. They put him in charge of the whole theatrical group. And I would go there and mow the lawns. And then one time he wanted to give me a ride home. And I'm like, no, that's okay. I only live down the block.
Right, I'm cool.
And so he starts saying all these like really inappropriate things to me about being behind the like in the dressing rooms, like during like children's productions of the Seven Dwarves or whatever. He was saying this kid had a boner, and I'm like, this dude's like 38, I'm 10 years old, and he's telling me about a boner. I'm like, this is a little weird, Right. And I'm like, listen, my parents are expecting me home. And my dad drives up the street. I'm like, there's my dad. And I wave to my dad, and the dude gets in his car and takes off. And
splits.
Right? And I'm like, and my dad's like, who was that guy? I'm like, that was the guy who, like, hires me to mow the lawns up at Barnstormers. So I'm like, and so a couple days later, my friend comes over to my house fucking crying. And it turns out that the guy... asked my friend if he wanted to drive his car, put my friend on his lap, and then as my friend's driving down the street like 50 miles an hour, he like whipped his 10-year-old dick out. And
the kid's dick?
Yeah. The guy whipped his dick out as he was sitting on his lap.
And you're doing 50 down the highway.
No, he's doing 15 down a back road. So he had my friend on his lap. They're going real slow. He's like, you want to drive my car? And he whips his dick out of his shorts. So we took the guy to court, and it's funny, the chief of police actually told us, he's like, look, don't take this guy to court. And my parents are like, why? My mom started like the Delaware County chapter of Women Against Rape. She was a feminist. Like, she was like really actively involved in this kind of shit. And she's like, why are you telling me?
This is the chief of police.
Chief of police. Why are you telling me not to take this man to court after what he did? You have a daughter my son's age. What would you do? Yeah. And he's like, well, the guy's father's a dentist, and you could really like ruin his career.
That's the point.
Right.
That's the fucking point. So, to ruin the career.
So we go to court. The guy shows up on fucking crutches, and they're like, the guy's lawyer's like, look, he has MS. He doesn't get enough chances to meet women. And we're like, what?
What's the so
you molest kids? So the guy got like 5 years probation, and 5 years probation and like a $10,000 fine, right? So then so like 7 years later in the paper, my mom's like, look at this.
He's out. No,
he's only probation. He didn't go to jail or nothing.
He
was going to the videotape store, inviting more kids back to his house, raping them, showing them porn, right? So we got caught like another fucking two times after that. Dude, it was awful. And people get away with it all the time,
and they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Like, you can type in. I mean, you can type in on the internet, like your zip code, and see all the fucking pedophiles in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I had to go skydiving one time tandem with some dude, and he was working up a hard on the fucking way up on the airplane. Then I look at his helmet; he has a big gay flag on it.
Now I'm jumping out of an airplane with some gay dick up my butt.
Man.
Don't worry, buddy. Everything's gonna be okay. Yeah.
And he's like whispering in my ear too, right before we're about to jump. The more you relax, the more fun it's going to be.
Yeah, for who?
Did you even enjoy it at all? Or are you just thinking?
I don't know, man. I was like getting ready to jump out of a fucking plane.
That's a lot to contemplate.
I have a half rock up my butt.
Well, your dad was telling me a story where him and a friend.
Oh, we should probably tell the dude thanks for calling.
Oh,
yeah. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, appreciate that story.
Well, your dad was telling me a good story where he knew somebody who like ran a movie theater, and him and the guy invited him back. He's like, "Yo, you know, I got like pornos. Like, you know, we're gonna be showing a porno after everyone leaves." So your dad and his friend come back.
Could be showing a porno.
So your dad and his friend come back, and they're sitting there watching the porno. And the dad start and the dude started to try and grab your dad's dick.
No way.
Yeah, and he was like, "What? What are you doing?" The guy's like, "Oh, I just wanted to see if you were a fag, because if you were a fag, you'd have a boner."
What?
You never heard that story?
No. Remember when you went to Tennessee and that dude from eye level was taking you out to like McDonald's and paying for you, and then he was having you sleep over at the skate park?
Yeah, that's funny. Remember that? I remember the story. It's a true story.
Yeah, and then he got caught with all these like kids doing, but he never did.
It's like when me and Bam first met, and it was during the NSA's or ESA's, whatever major contest.
National Skateboard Association. Yeah, bunch of contests.
And it was like qualifiers, you know, so you had to go to each different state to qualify. Right. And we go, and this guy who owned the skate park had a trailer inside the skate park where he lived, took a special interest in me for some reason. And he was like, Buggy was skating with Bam, and everyone kind of,
I know, all the kids that would sleep over in the skate park, he'd have hidden cameras in the bunk beds.
Oh.
Yeah. So the guy came to me, he's like, "Hey, man, you hungry? You want to get something to eat?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I leave with the guy. And then, you know, Bam, Buggy, and everyone's like, "Where the fuck's Brandon at? Where's Brandon?" And they're like, "Oh, the so-and-so that owns Eye Level took him down to get something to eat." And everyone's flipping out, losing their mind. Like,
I heard about
thinking that I was definitely getting molested, like, because the guy was known to be a child molester. And when I got back...
And everyone just let him hang out?
Well, everyone... I didn't know what was going on. So when I got back, everyone rushed up to me like, "Dude, what the fuck happened? What did he do to you? Ready to kill this guy?" And the guy didn't do anything to me. He just was probably going to, but at this point, he had just taken me to McDonald's. I'm like, "Nothing. We just went to McDonald's. What's the deal?" Like, I was, you know, really close to probably getting molested.
Gee, what about you? Do you have any deal?
Not like I care or nothing. I've been through worse.
I heard that story before, like in the 90s.
Really?
It's in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
I think that was over, like, in the magazine.
Gee, did anyone ever make any improper sexual advances towards you in your whole life?
No.
So they were all okay with you, whatever.
You know what, Novak, though? I heard another good fast food story about you.
What's that?
Well, you know how, you know, when you were addicted to drugs on the streets of Baltimore, how you used to, you know, you take a bird bath in like a Burger King bathroom.
Sink, yeah.
Well, apparently you don't remember this. Your mom told me, but when you were 7 years old, you went to use the bathroom in a Burger King, and you came out, and some guy was like, "Excuse me, is that your son over there?" And your mom's like, "Yeah." And I accidentally walked in the bathroom. He left the door unlocked, and he was washing his face and hands in the toilet bowl. Dude, you were sitting there.
Why were you doing that?
I was a kid. I don't know.
But rather than wash your face and hands in the fucking sink, you just go for the toilet bowl and you're just washing up in the fucking toilet, dude.
I guess I was short and it was there and it just seemed simpler.
That is so fucked up.
First time I went over to Tony Hawk's house, I pull up. And his kid's just outside the front lawn chewing on a dog shit.
His kid was?
Like, yeah, dog shit.
Oh, man.
Face. He was like 2 years old. He's just chewing on dog shit.
What'd you do?
I was like, "Tony, dude, Spencer's chewing on dog shit right now." "No, Spencer, don't do that."
Sorry, Tony. Dude. That's a funny story, dude.
Dude, my dad was a teacher, and one of the kids came in after recess, and he's like, "Look, Mr. Franz, I found a balloon." And it was a fucking blown up used condom.
Oh, God. Fucking cum all over it.
In the fucking ghetto of West Philly where my dad was a teacher. Yeah.
Some cummed up rubber.
Off a crack whore.
Blowing up. Disgusting. All right, I'm going to cut to a song right now. This is actually Loomis from Jackass, and he just put out an album called Black Black, and this song is called Destination Nowhere. Radio Bam Series 28 Faction.
Get him.
Oh.
Get him.
Oh. No one curse or anything because we're still on the air. Yeah.
You're allowed to curse.
Oh,
what's going on here?
By the way, shout out to Electric. They sent me some fucking awesome shades this week.
Oh, and speaking of shout outs, shout out to Julianne, who runs the Haggard MySpace, and also Max Ander, who runs the Dream Seller and Ming Hag's MySpace.
Yeah.
Oh!
Uh-huh. And LostBoyInc.com.
Shut up. Hey.
Ben Marger.
Hey, have you guys noticed how hard it is to get fucking normal briefs?
What's going on?
Everything's boxer briefs now.
I know the feeling.
Are you guys playing a song?
Yeah, we're trying to.
We're going to try another one over here.
G, what do you wear? Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
Am I the only one who wears briefs?
I don't wear underwear.
I wear them.
What size you wear?
All right, I'll play this Dotson song.
You wear mediums? Yeah, me too.
There's that song about
it's
heroin.
It's so hard to get fucking normal briefs.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lumen CD isn't working, so we have another song here.
Wait, what?
This is the Dotsons called Cherry Lane.
Oh,
you
Lumen's
you don't
want to
walk
down
that street again.
Wait, what's this?
I don't know. We'll get it to work.
Tell me about the song, Ben. What's the deal with the song?
It's about heroin. Listen to the words.
What track?
Five.
Stop teasing me and play it.
Let's go.
Dotsons from New Zealand. Here we go.
Serious 28 Faction.
Heroin.
Now
rock.
I know. Second City of South Toe. Your papa do women.
Dotson's yes. Cherry Lane.
Oh.
And dude, listen to this. There's this lady at the Note, and somebody put my name on a flyer of like this band put my name on a flyer saying that I was going to make a special appearance there. And like I never agreed to it at all. Right. And I show up at the note, like, late just to grab a beer or whatever. And this lady's like, that's really fucking rude for showing up late at the show. Like, you came in on the last song. And I was like, late for what are you talking about? She's like, we put your name on the flyer, and, like, the least you could do is, like, show up on time. I'm like, lady, I never agreed to have my fucking name on a flyer saying that I'm going to show up. She's like, well, this is your club, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, it doesn't mean that I need
to
show up.
And
she's like,
every show?
And they didn't even sell it out. They didn't even halfway sell it out. They're like, well, we just made you so much fucking money tonight. The least you could do is show up on time. I was like, you know what? This conversation is over, dude.
And
I
say a rat.
Like, she really thought that, A, because it's my bar, and B, because they sold a few tickets, that I had to show up on time for them because they put my name on a flyer.
Dude, remember there was, and I'm not even gonna say who they are because it'll give them a plug. But there's like a CKY wannabe like video dudes. And they had this like event, like this premiere of their new stupid video.
And I think I know where you're going.
Yeah,
with this.
And they had with special appearance by Bam Margera, and I think Rab was there and a couple other people were there, and like special appearance by Bam Margera, and I called them up. I'm like, dudes. I was like, Bam wouldn't go to this. I know. I don't even have to call him up to know that. Like, they're like, oh well, no, it's totally cool. Like, we know Bam. Like,
totally
like,
cool.
Like, what's going to happen is like we're going to have like a Bam Margera impersonator there. Like, we're just going to say Bam
fucker.
Couldn't show up. I'm like, wait a minute. So you're going to sell tickets on the strength and people can meet Bam, and then you're going to tell those same people that he couldn't show up, so you brought a broke ass fucking Bam Margera impersonator. I was like, and you don't see a problem with this?
They're going around to clubs doing that. It's
he actually came over the house, and he was chilling, and I didn't know who he was. And then as soon as he whipped out the DVD and gave it to me, I'm like, oh, you're that fucking dude? And I just threw it in the fire, and I started stomping on the DVD. I'm like,
dude.
Fuck this piece of shit.
So many people.
He was so proud to show him like his like hard work that he put months and months into.
Yeah.
Whips out to show it to
Yeah, dude, okay. I get so many people, Bam, sending me videos. They're like, dude, like, check out a video. Like, and of course, like, I don't watch them. I'm like, dude, it's awesome. Keep up the good work. Try hard, you know? And it was like, cool. Like, you make sure, like, Bam sits and watches this. I'm like, yeah. If he can dig it out of the bottom of my fucking trash can. Dude,
right.
It's like.
We got to call. Let's take it.
Let's take it, yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
good,
going
buddy? What's up?
Hey, I heard on the radio there, I listen to the channel here all the time, and y'all were talking about up there in that airplane when he was up in the airplane, that jump instructor was working up a hard-on for him.
Yeah.
I was down in Charlotte, I'm airborne, and I was doing some halo jumps, which is 7 miles high and stuff, and this one girl wants to do a tandem jump with me.
Uh-huh.
I said, fine. She wanted to know what a halo was, and halo the tube low opening. So I said, okay, cool, I'll take you up. So we went about 3 miles in the Sky King. We bailed out. Before we bailed out, she's pulling her bottom of her flight pants off and stuff. And she said
shit.
She wants me to fuck her on the way down the air to give her a bigger rush.
You should have done it.
Did you do it? You better did it.
No, I'm not. And on the way down, I said, well, you're traveling at, you know, like 120 miles an hour at terminal velocity. Isn't that a rush enough? She said no. So I started fucking the hell out of her from behind.
Yeah.
I pulled the chute and stuff. We're getting ready to touch down, and she's sitting here screaming and yelling as she's coming before we hit the ground. Even before we hit the ground, people thought she broke her fucking leg.
Did you come?
I'm like, did you enjoy the jump? She said, oh, hell yeah, I want to do it again.
Did you get a chance to come, or did she come?
Oh, she came.
Did you come?
I was too controlled about, you know, the toggles and stuff, worrying about everything to make sure we landed safe.
So now when the chute pulled, did it rip your dick off?
No.
Oh, it didn't.
No, I had it hard.
Oh.
My flash and shit. You know, I had my boys straight, you know.
Was this a girl that you just met, like,
yeah,
that day?
Yeah. That
was she hot?
Coming down. I had my oxygen mask on, my oxygen tank.
How did you get a boner falling?
Yeah.
You should titty fuck her butt cheeks next time.
Yeah, 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, she was saying, you know, what kind of skydiving do you do? I said, halo jumping. And she said, halo. I said, yeah. So she wants to do it. And I'm going to go back again here to Charlotte and show her how to do it properly.
Next time you better titty fuck her butt cheeks.
Film it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're gonna have to need some videotape posted somewhere.
Yeah, we need some proof of that one,
dude. I mean,
dude, I don't know if I could get a boner in mid free fall.
Yeah, he's so scared.
That's a lot of thinking going on. So when you landed,
he made a puss sickle out of her.
Wouldn't all that major wind dry out the puss?
Yeah.
No, she pulled down the back of her pants and shit. You know, she pulled them down.
And shit?
See, shit?
She pulled down the back.
Now, did the shit fall at the same velocity as you guys? Like, was it, like, following you, or?
Yeah. Well, more or less, when she came, it was, like, screaming right out. It's like, look, you know, it's right there with us because it falls together, you know? It was cool.
Sounds, cool, man. Sounds like you're driving.
Cool.
Sounds like it's
all right, cool. Thanks for the call, man. Thanks for the call.
That was interesting.
Hey, have you guys noticed, you know, a buddy of mine gave me his videotape collection, like some like 700 videotapes, right? So the other day, so I saw one in there I haven't seen in a long time, because when I was a kid, I was a big James Bond fan. And so I like pop in Live and Let Die. And have you guys seen a James Bond movie lately? They suck.
The last one sucked. Fucking bad.
It
was like 3 hours long.
I don't understand what anyone ever
liked about that series. So bad these days. If you compare, like,
if you're not Sean Connery,
a number one movie like Superbad that just came out, and you compare it to like Better Off Dead in the 80s or any movie like Weird Science, 16 Candles, they're all so much better back then.
Right. No,
now they just pump out movies every fucking once a week.
Well, no. I mean, even James Bond movies, like the whole fucking series was, even when movies were good in the 70s and 80s, James Bond movies still suck, yet people thought they were so good. The fight choreography sucks. The acting sucks. The fucking cinematography is fucking god awful. They go to the most exotic places in the world and they still manage to have horrible cinematography. Dude, the James Bond movie is the biggest fucking retro letdown that you could ever imagine. I don't know what the fuck people thought was so good about the goddamn series.
I thought Sean Connery was a good James Bond.
Watch him again.
You ever watch Commando?
What?
You ever watch Commando?
Yeah, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, we're just watching it.
Yeah. Commando's good. Yeah. Dude, no, my favorite part, I used to watch this with Deco, we'd rewind it, was at the beginning when they're petting the deer.
Yes.
There's so many mistakes in that movie.
I love it. It's fucking...
What happens?
What, in Commando?
In the pet and the deer.
It's just a montage of his relationship with his daughter at the beginning, and there's just a shot they're just petting the deer. Like, they're in the middle of the woods, and they just coax the deer, and they're just petting the deer. Yeah.
Did you see when he jumps off the two-story roof, and he obviously lands in an airbag, and then it just cuts to, like, a picnic table that's, like, 2 feet up, and you can tell that he just jumped off of something so small because he comes from, like, the right angle when on the other angle he's coming straight down in the middle of the screen, and then the next angle he's coming in from the right of the screen. And he just hops onto a picnic table.
Or how about when they throw the grenades at the dudes and they blow up in the air, but you see the things that spring them up in the air?
They go flying before the explosion even happens.
Yeah, they don't prop out the things that throw them in the air.
The best movie, though, ever.
They're probably like, man, well, we just spent like $100,000 on these explosions, and I know that they like went flying before the explosion happened, but fuck it.
Dude, you know what I love about explosions in movies is there's always
Lotus.
The best thing about 80s movies is whenever there's an explosion, it always happens around 18,000 barrels. You ever notice that?
They're always like,
well, there's an explosion, all right, but what's going to blow up? Well, we got these barrels in the back. Like, there's always barrels.
More explosives.
But the best 80s movie, and it's a cop buddy movie, and it's an action movie, and a renegade movie, it's Tango and Cash.
Yes. That was good.
Starring Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell. Dude, there's just one liner, bad one-liners galore, but there's a one part. They're in prison, and then the prisoners take over the prison, and there's 35 fucking hardened inmates surrounding them at the basement of the prison, and it's Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone, and it's like, oh no, must be the welcoming committee.
I don't think it's a surprise party.
Well, let's get out of here.
I don't think they're gonna let us.
It's like just such bad one-liners, but it's so fucking awesome, dude.
I just watched that.
It's the best movie.
I watched Roadhouse too.
They play that all the time.
Yeah, dude. Another Roadhouse movie that's supposed to be awesome, but dude, you know what the weird thing about Roadhouse is? A lot of people watch that movie
and don't think it's so god awful that it's awesome. They think it's so awesome that it's awesome. Like, they're like, don't you think it's great? Like, he just goes in there and just beats everybody up. It's so realistic. It's like so not realistic.
The double deuce.
Dude, have you seen?
I hate those movies that, like, when they just simply walk up to somebody and they'll, like, karate chop their neck and then they're all of a sudden passed out. Like, that would so never happen at all. Like, you would have to pound the shit out of their face if you wanted to knock them out. One karate chop to the neck would never work.
Leslie Nielsen always does that in the Naked Gun movies. He just comes up and kind of just gives, like, a little, like, light karate chop to the guy's neck and then he just passes out.
What do you call that judo chop?
What's that?
That type of comedy.
Gaggle comedy?
I don't know.
Does anyone know what the fuck he's talking about?
That type of humor. Insane. It's like really weird humor.
I've never heard...
Like Ming Hags. You know, Ming Hags has a weird
That's a screwball humor. Comedy.
Okay.
Screwball.
That's.
Hey, let's see if this Loomis track comedies. Works again.
Yeah, we should be good.
Thanks for the birthday beer.
Is it working?
Oh, yeah. Today's G's birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Final, dude.
And you look great for somebody who's 55 years old, Jim.
All right, we got this Loomis CD working. Let's hear it. Black.
Serious.
Awesome.
Faction. Radio Band.
Darkness, black, everything hovers above. And sounds through cold summer, circling to get to us. Still is dropping cobweb stock, expect you to crawl along passageways, you know not. Just another fall, just another fall. Destination nowhere.
We're going hot right now. Stop.
Run for your life.
Look what we found in Don Vito's ass.
Howdy-ho.
This is Radio Bam, baby.
Faction.
Darren Miller from CKY said the last time he was on a bus, this guy in front of him, he was sitting with his girlfriend, and he went to the bathroom, and then when he came back, he ripped his Ming and ass fart, and the girlfriend was like, "Dude, did you just rip a sick fart?" And he's like, "No, it's that lady over there. She must have done it." And then the lady heard him say it. She goes,
"Oh, don't blame that shit on me. I saw you tilt."
I saw you tilt.
What's he doing? Wait.
We got to back up a little bit, dude. I want to say, dude, I've always loved Loomis, but I love him twice as much now, dude. That was really incredible.
Dude, I was over here reading the lyrics to his other songs. It's fucking the lyrics.
Well, the album's
really
called
good.
Black Black, and the
check
title is Loomis, so check it out.
Now, really he does everything on. He did all the tracks.
He did everything. I was
guitars, drums, voice, everything.
That was amazing and emotional, yeah, but it was, I mean, it was cool, too. Like, it wasn't like, wow.
At first, I can't
describe it because I don't know anything about music, but that was awesome.
At first, I was like, yeah, but then I was listening to the lyrics, and it's really emotional. It's raw. It's
Loomis. Loomisisfall.com.
Yeah. What is it?
Loomis is fall.
You know, Loomis is such like a strange guy. It's like you kind of don't know what to expect. He could go any, like he could make anywhere from classical to metal to like hardcore to like regular like Mozart. Indie rock or whatever. But that was fucking incredible.
I never met him. I didn't even know he did play music.
That was so cool.
Man, I drove down to Baltimore last Saturday to see the Motley Crue show, and Kat Von D had a signing at Borders, and we went in. No, we go in the back room with all the Borders employees, and Novak's just ripping farts as everybody's eating. And then the phone rings, and then he just picks it up and airs it.
Barnes and Nobles.
And then they're like, "Oh, do you have this certain kind of book?"
"I don't know, let me check."
And they just rips a fart on the phone and hangs up. Then we went to go see Motley Crue, and we're in Nikki Sixx's dressing room, and I look and I see that Hinder is opening up for him, and I've been busting on them so much, and it sucks because they're actually nice dudes, but God, like anytime anybody's like, "What's your least favorite band?" I'm like, Hinder. So what do? They come in, the guitar player comes in, and he has his grundle pierced, and his dick is so much smaller than Novak's that
inverted.
It actually goes in.
It's like a belly button.
And he pulled his balls out and poured hairspray all over it. Then he lit his balls on fire. I have it all on film. I'm going to put it up pretty soon.
His dick is so small that it's just barely there. No,
and the more he pulled his balls out, the more his dick went in. Like, dude, your small dick, you could fuck his any dick.
I definitely could. Yeah, I could fuck it. Well, G's small. G's got a smaller dick than me now. So now when G's...
Now.
Yeah, but he has a gill that could get in the way.
Yeah, that's true. You're fat, I'm skinny. That's the only difference.
Jesus.
But the thing is, though, the funny thing is with Hinder was they all... Three.
Here we go again.
They all three had a job. The one guy had the inverted dick with his grundle, whatever the hell you call it, pierced.
That's his job, okay.
And then the one guy sprays the hairspray, and the other guy lights it on fire, and then the other guy pours the water on it. Like four dudes.
Dude, if your dick's that small, what else are you going to do with it but light it on fire every night?
I mean, I was wondering, like, if you got a hard on, do you think it would even, like, your head would pop out?
I suppose. I don't know. But, dude, like, the mushroom cap of the head was, like, tucked into any dick.
It was weird.
Hello, I'm Sick Parlay Greg Myburn.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for choosing us for your insurance.
On the way up, I went up with Seth, and I was in the purple Lambo, and I was going, like, 130 the whole way. Seth. And I cut this dude off, and we wind up at a red light, and he's to the right of me, and he's like, "Yo, man, you almost cut me off." I'm like, "Well, almost isn't good enough. Did I cut you off or not?"
Almost.
He goes, "Do you know who the fuck I am?" I'm like, "I don't give a shit who you are." He's like, "I'm Special Ops. Do you know what that is?" I was like, "I don't know what Special Ops is, but go fuck yourself." Dude, this guy got so heated.
Wait, do you know who I am?
What is Special Ops?
It's like, no, I don't know. I still don't know.
Matt Damon in Bourne Ultimatum. Yeah. Like, he goes on missions like that. Like, but I'm like, okay, you're in Special Ops, and why are you driving some minging-ass Daihatsu then?
Wait a minute, he's in the military.
Special Operations.
He's in some crappy Daihatsu saying he's Special Ops. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
He's undercover.
Did I cut you off or not? Or did I almost?
good enough.
Almost isn't good enough, pal.
But wait, he's special ops out in the civilian world. He's not out on a special mission right now. I mean,
you're a normal citizen right now.
Thank you for your service, but that doesn't buy you any fucking.
Dude, his face got beat red and his muscles were so tense as soon as I was like, fuck your special ops and fuck you.
Wow.
Dude, his face got so red, but the light turned green. I was like,
some like young fucking hot shit kid with fucking muffed up clothes on, some Lamborghini, and he's all special. Dude, he probably just couldn't wait to go and shoot up steroids.
Why would you go around?
You almost cut me up. Well, that's not good enough.
Almost ain't cutting it up, buddy.
So did you hear about that swimmer, that Phelps guy smoking the bong?
Dude, did you see his Dateline interview, dude?
It's only a big deal if you make it a big deal.
The thing is, his interview, he will not deny it. He won't admit that he smoked.
He didn't say anything on his whole thing. He's like, well, you know, what do you think about this situation? Well, you know, I think, you know, it got blown out of proportion. Well, what do you think of the people who are saying, there's really nothing I can do about that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, did you or didn't you?
The best part
is, we were just having fun, you know?
And
like, what the fuck did you do? Did you smoke a finger?
He goes, yeah, so I made a mistake and it'll never happen again. And then Matt Lauer just goes back to, well,
in
you said the exact same thing on the DUI that you got, and then they clipped the footage.
Yep.
Yeah, I made a mistake and it'll never happen again. Yeah. So basically, you're just,
totally.
So what? You do it a second time and it's a.
Well, this is an entirely different situation. Like, you know what though? You know Donna Murph and Maryland of DonnaMurph.com.
Yeah,
they put out the videos and all that shit.
Yeah.
He went to high school with them, and he would like Don Dingle. He would fucking call him a fat shit whenever he saw him. He'd like fucking fat piece of shit.
I bet he was an asshole.
Yeah, he was
a
fucking complete asshole. So I'm like, I mean. I don't like to see a falling star, but I'm pretty happy he's getting his because he fucked with my buddies.
But he's the only Olympian that won it with eight
gold
medals. No one's ever beat him. So the only endorsement he lost, they said out of that shit ass interview with Matt Lowry, was the Kellogg's. That's the only one.
Didn't
he lost.
Ben Affleck tell you to go beat it, you fat fuck?
No.
Who was that? To you or something?
You want me to tell the Ben Affleck story?
Yeah.
All right.
It was funny.
It was when I worked on the movie Chasing Amy for one day, and there was this dude who worked the the craft services table.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
There was like this fat dude who was working at the craft service table. Was the nicest dude, and he was talking to these chicks, and Ben Affleck comes over. Wait, did I say Matt Damon?
No, Ben Affleck.
So Ben Affleck comes over, and there was a big bottle of Tums at the table, and so he starts talking to the hot girls, and he's taking the Tums out, not even looking at the fat dude, humming the fucking Tums at the dude's head, not even acknowledging him in the conversation. He's just having fucking target practice. The kid's like, let me throw a couple of you. He goes, you want to throw some at me? Do you want to throw some at me? Here, shoves the fucking Tums in the dude's hand and starts going, all right, come on, throw them at me. Come on, throw them at me. And like, the dude didn't want to do it anymore. Yeah. He's like, no, that's cool. He goes, no, throw them at me. So he fucking like just gives a little pussy flick of one of the Tums at Ben Affleck, and he karate chops out of him and goes, hoo-yah! And he's like, so, come on, do another one. He like, gently like hums another one. Sosa! Like, hums the third one. Then the third one he missed. Ben Affleck misses it with his fucking great man karate chop. It goes past his hand and bounces off his jacket. He goes, yo, asshole! I said you could fucking throw him at me, not the jacket! This belongs to wardrobe. This has to be on camera. This isn't mine. Grabs a fucking bottle of Tums from the fat dude, dumps him over his head, and goes, now get the fuck out of here. Humiliates this like fat dude in front of these girls, and I was like, that fucking, what a piece of shit.
The funniest is the karate chops in each one that came. Remember
when they were filming Immaculata Girls last summer in Westchester, and they were having catering right on Gay Street, so Franz just puts on his whole Steadicam outfit, and he walks over with the Steadicam on. And then he starts picking through all the lunch at the craft table. And they're like, I'm sorry, who are you? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with the writer and the sound guy. And they're like, but what's your name? He's like, yeah, go talk to him. I'm friends with the sound guy. And they're like, but are you working on the movie? And he just has a big-ass steady cam on for no reason.
Yeah, we're making Ming-Hags up the street, so I was already rocking the fucking steady cam. And I did know the one writer, and
I remember, like, he promised me he was going to, like, do this shit for he was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I'm going to do this and this for you. Like, he was supposed to do something for me, like, a year before that, and, like, never did it, and, like, kind of burned me up. So I'm like, motherfucker, I'm at least going to get a free coffee out of that, me having a meeting with you, douchebag. So I went over there. I start eating off the fucking craft services table, dude, like, eating, like, ham sandwiches. Everyone was afraid to talk to me. Because, like, the Steadicam, that Steadicam shit's expensive. Dude. Yeah, so they were
even
like,
if you were the Steadicam, dude, why would you have it on during lunch?
but the fact that I knew the one writer, it was okay then. They were like, oh, okay, cool, like... And dude. I got so tired of eating. I'm like, this sucks. They're not even going to kick me off the set.
Dude, remember when we were at you were doing TRL and Mariah Carey? We were sharing a dressing room, Mariah Carey, and she had all this special. She had her whole entourage and like 18 bodyguards and fucking a million people with her, and she had special shrimp, lobster.
Yeah, gee, dude. The fucking working man's hero. Dude, you were jacking up like four fucking bouncers that went. They didn't. You stayed the rest of the show.
Yeah. You actually almost fought Hannah, too.
What's that?
I remember I almost fought Hannah one time, too.
Over what?
Same shit. It's like, you gotta get off. I'm like, I ain't fucking getting off. I'm fucking drinking. I'm having a good time.
But he gets drunk. He gets violent. Yeah. He gets angry. I remember one time when I was living here at the house, I made him pissed off for some reason. And I literally had to run. It was when I was in where before you changed upstairs, and I had the upstairs room. And I locked myself in the room because he was going fucking. He had a gorilla mentality this night. So he literally was up there kicking the door in.
Holy
I'm like, dude,
shit!
I wouldn't. You're kicking Bam's door.
I wouldn't
and
fuck
like,
with Bam's door.
No, you did. You fucking liar. You kicked it. I had it locked.
Well, no.
He's fucking.
I was waiting for that.
He's putting his fucking 280 pounds all into this fucking door. Finally, it comes through the hinges, and he took it even farther than that. He didn't want to physically like beat me up, but he wanted to get even for whatever I did to him. So he went and got a pillowcase. And he took the pillow out, and he took all these glasses and plates and put them in there and shattered them.
What?
So he has this broken glass, holy and he shit, takes it to my bed and just spreads it out all over my bed. So not only did he kick your door in, he put spreaded shard glass all over my bed. He's like, take that, bitch. I'm like, all right.
Oh. Funny thing is, Boof had to clean it up, and Bam had to pay for the dishes. now didn't you key Bam's cup? Didn't you get so mad at Bam you keyed his car once?
Yeah, he did do that.
What's
I
the story?
That.
No, he was clumsy and he was bringing his camera bag in.
Yeah.
And he was, yeah, and he just hears and he just looks at the Mercedes and it's all keyed. So he walks in. Like, yo, I think I might have like scratched your car.
I'm like, I might have.
What? At least I told you about it. Like, oh, well, if you told me about it, that makes it A-okay then.
It didn't even happen if you told him about it, you know?
It's an honest mistake.
It was an honest mistake.
And I'm not going to be a dick and not say anything, so I mean.
A G retrospect here. Do you remember the time you beat me up when I was in this very chair?
Yes.
Franz, I think you beat me up a couple times over in that area.
Yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
We're over. It's time to go, and I want to play Inner Pizza Hut.
Inner Pizza Hut?
Inner Party System. It's time to go, fellas. This song is called Don't Stop, Radio Bam Series 28 Faction.
Later.
My life.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bam.
That's Radio Bam for this week.
We're done.
Tune in next week for more.
You can leave now.
It's Radio Bam.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 to 4 p.m.
Radio Bam every Monday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific.
Email me now at Radio Bam.
Why don't you take a picture of your sweet white ass and send it on over to Radio Bam at Sirius-Radio.com.
Call Radio Bam at 877-PORN-BAG.
That's 877-PORN-BAG.
Sweet dreams, Peapod.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Faction.
Bye.